Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
And what's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? This is Wrestle Talk in a D on a Wednesday night right here on blogtalkradio.com, a presentation of Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. Really, really happy to be back with you all tonight. This is Wrestle Talk in a D with Martez, Dominic, Kayvon, and Josh. We got a lot to discuss tonight. This isn't your average wrestling show. This is something different. We want to give you something different each and every week. We want to present something unique to you that doesn't sound like everybody else. And tonight we're going to do our best to live up to that moniker. Where do we begin? There's so much to dive into tonight, so much to dissect tonight. But before we bring the other guys on, I want to take these few short moments to talk about two things that I'm ready to hop on board with. There's two things happening in WWE right now on SmackDown and on Raw that I'm ready and locked in on right now. And that's Liv Morgan and Naomi. The Liv Morgan train is a train that you must get on. Like, I am so ready to see Liv Morgan crowned as your new WWE Raw Women's Champion, hopefully next week. I'm so ready for that. I feel like this is Liv Morgan's time. This is her moment. She's putting the work. And I feel like WWE should definitely cash in on the fact that Liv Morgan, she's a top babyface. You know, she's been a babyface for such a long time. And we've been waiting as fans to see Liv Morgan get this major push on the main roster. So that's one thing that I'm excited about. And on the SmackDown side, Naomi. I like what they're doing with Naomi and Sonya Deville. Eventually, Naomi will be pushed as well. They're kind of giving us it's moving slow right now, but it's also moving fast, if I can get my words together. But we know the end game is for Naomi to receive that massive push. So right now, I'm happy and I'm excited about what's going on Raw with Liv Morgan, and I'm happy what's going on with Naomi over on the SmackDown side, and I'm here for it. So let's bring in other guys. Let's bring in Brother Josh into the show. What's up, Josh? Good evening, man.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well, man. Happy to be able to come back for the next 70 minutes. And talk about wrestling, which you guys agree, disagree, things of that nature, the things that we do.
Oh, yeah. First and foremost, let me talk about an incident that is not wrestling related. Mm-hmm. I would like to give my thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by the Oxford High School shootings, all the victims, all their families, and for the ones who are injured, let's hope for a speedy recovery. And for the ones that have been lost, let's say a prayer for them and their families and hope for the best for their families and keep them in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. I mean, definitely a sad story, and I can piggyback on that. You never want anything like that to happen. You never think anything like that would happen, but it did happen. So for myself and everybody else, our thoughts and prayers are with those that lost loved ones and those that their children were injured by a said gunman. We wanted to get that out of the way. We got a phone caller, Josh, right away. We don't want to keep this guy waiting. This is either Coco or Brother Antoine. We don't know who it is, but we're going to find out because we don't want to keep him waiting. So you ready to go to the phone?
All right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Brother Antoine or Coco, welcome back to Wrestle Talking Z. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Oh, yeah. What's happening, good Brother Montez? And nice to meet you, good Brother Josh. This is the
nice to meet
Coco
you.
Kiwab, and I'm the founder and leader of K-Fake, the People's Band. Now, I must say, my heart goes out to the same people out there in Oxford, Michigan. That was a horrible, terrible, terrible thing, and I'm glad justice is going to be served. Now, with that to the side, the black man saw on Facebook, good Brother Montez, I got a little bone or two to pick with you, Daddy. Then I see that you guys are going to be talking about wrestling theme songs. No, I'm full doggone well. K-Fate, the People's Band, just made its worldwide debut. After missing one night on their birthday bash in New Baltimore Diesel Concert Lounge. And you didn't even include the black man in on it. I'm shocked. I'm confused. I'm flummoxed. Perplexed. Flabbergasted and a touch hurt. What's going on, Brother
Michael? Well, see, what had happened was this. This is what happened. You know, I figured that. I figured you may be busy with all the press conferences, with all the autographs that you got to sign. You know, I didn't want to bug you. You know, little old me didn't want to bug you because you're caught up in a frenzy right now, man. You are the most popular person right now. Your band is the most popular band going right now. So I didn't want to bother you.
Oh, but Brother Montez, good brother, the mistake you're making right now is to think that the black man will be way too busy for open talk in the D. What would make you think, come on now, this is my home away from home, Daddy. I mean, what do you mean? We like good brothers. We're like, in the words of Jim Cornette, twin sons of different mothers, Daddy. How can we separate ourselves in such a way because you think the black man is just a little too busy for the open talk thing wants you to flash, Daddy? That's what it's all about here. So yeah, forgive me, good Brother Josh. I don't mean to interrupt and kamikaze this wonderful show, but I just couldn't help but get on this here horn late at night knowing I got to punch in at the 9 to 5 on tomorrow. But, oh, good Brother Montez, I'm shocked. I'm totally, totally shocked. How could you do this to the black man?
Well, I apologize, and hopefully the black man can forgive me this one time. Hopefully the black man can forgive me.
Well,
you
the
got
black
the floor.
Man is forgiven.
And thank you. And you got the floor right now. So why don't you give us some of your top wrestling theme songs?
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't. I'm so glad you asked me, brother. So glad you asked me. I was waiting on you. You're begging me. No problem. I was happy to take my top three all time, probably. Top three, if I could just give it to you. Number one, in this order, definitely my childhood wrestling hero, the incredible, the amazing, the immortal, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, baby. Real American, that's right. You got to have it. And by the way, we played that Saturday night, by the way, and the crowd dug it, Daddy. They dug it like two shovels in the dirt, you know what I'm saying? Secondly, one of the most recent wrestling theme songs. One of my favorite wrestling factions in most recent memory, you feel me? The Undisputed Era Shock the System, baby. That was a dope one right there. That was some good, good music playing right there. And number three, oh, my goodness. This one is going to throw everybody off because there's so many great ones. But I'm going to take it all the way back to the 1989, 88, baby. from the Slickster himself, Jasso Bro, baby. If you never listened to it before, you need to look that up. Like a Dr. Style Slick, not a Reverend Slick, you know what I'm saying? That was a certified banger, and that one was an upsetter, baby. Don't nobody see that one coming at all.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely didn't see that one coming. Josh, did you see that? I mean, what do you think about that? Because I didn't see that one coming at all.
That third one was a good one. It was, as you said with the second one, shocked the system. That's what the third one did. It shocked the system.
Yes, sir. It sure did. It sure did. And it continues to shock that. It continues.
Let me say it is nice to meet you, Coco, but I have a challenge for you, Coco.
Okay, I'm
so
all ears, brother.
After this tournament, would you, and if it's okay with everybody else, join us for another tournament of old school versus new school, and each person picks their own groups and people and see who comes up with the best teams?
Ooh.
That
oh,
is
baby.
The challenge.
As it relates to wrestling theme songs, am I understanding you correctly?
Yes.
Or are you referring to art? Oh, that's a wonderful look. See, that's right up the black man's alley right there. I mean, you ain't never picked a better subject for the black man to talk about. I can sit here and talk about it all day, all year long, twice on a Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Brother Matez knows me real good, so he knows the black man loves him some good wrestling theme songs, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, Coco, while we still have you, I wouldn't be a good friend. At least I'm trying to be a better friend. But I want to ask you, could
you
a
friend of friends, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. Can we use this as a moment to put the spotlight on the band? Could you tell us what should we expect heading into 2022 with you guys, K-Fabe People's Band?
Okay, so is it okay for me to spill the beans as to what's going to happen January 29th? Is that what you're telling me right now, Brother Matthew?
Oh, yeah. You can do that, too. Yeah, definitely.
Baby, I'm so glad you asked. Not November. We just got past that day. See, I'm still stuck on the first gig because it was phenomenal. But on January and 29th, at the Royal Oak and Magic Theater, Daddy, K-Fabe the People's Band and Brother Martez is coming together. It's going to be a meet and greet. It's going to be a special raffle in our midst. And just before the Royal Rumble comes on, the Black Man Coco T. Wade K-Fabe the People's Band is going to play live and in Technicolor, baby, for all the good people in person. And we're going to hit a couple of songs just to make everybody happy real quick. And then we're going to have a meet and greet autograph signing. And then we're going to sit there and watch the Royal Rumble, eat our popcorn, drink our drinks, eat our nachos and pretzels and whatever else you may like. You know what I'm saying? The Black Man Coco T. Wear is a sweet tot, ropes eater myself. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward January and 29th, baby. That's going down like Chinatown and Badly Rub Brown. You feel what I'm saying?
Hey, well, brother. Now, I'll tell you this in private as well, but this is going to be an exciting night. You know, it's going to be a fun night, and I may be nervous, but I know it's going to be a great night. It's going to be fun. You know, you guys are going to do an excellent job, because from what I've seen of you all, you always do a great job, and the best is yet to come for K-Fabe the People's Band. And do yourself a favor and support this man and support his group, because they're going to be the best thing going in professional wrestling very, very soon.
Oh, yeah, baby. We going to be the best thing since sliced bread and Betty White put together, baby. That's right. That's right. See, Betty White was born since before sliced bread. People don't realize that. She was born before since sliced bread. We going to be cooler than Betty White and sliced bread put together. So, oh, yeah, Daddy, you want us at your Comic Cons. You want us at your cosplay conventions. You want us at your wrestling shows. You want us at your birthday parties, by Mrs. Quincyetta, all that good stuff, baby. You want us there at your event, weddings, baby. We will do weddings. We'll do graduation parties. Hey, we will do parades. If you give us a float, with a big electrical outlet so we can plug all our stuff into, you know what I'm saying? We ready anywhere and anything, baby. We are down, like I said, like Chinatown and Bad Bad Leroy Brown. We ready, Brother Montez. We've been waiting for this a long time. It's been good 4-5 years in the making, as you know, and you and I have been friends about just as long, baby. So you know good and well that the Black Man Coco T-Wear and K-State People's Band is good and ready and been waiting for this all. I lied.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it from him, from the Black Man himself. He's coming. They're coming. Coco, is there anything else you want to talk about before you get some shut-eye for the night?
Well, no, I think that will be on me because the Black Man can say a whole lot of everything, and it mean everything, you know what I'm saying? I can talk a whole lot and say something, you know. I don't talk a whole lot and say nothing, you know what I mean? Like a James Brown hit. But and who? As I said before, we're going to be rehearsing this Friday. We're going to talk business, chop shop. We're going to talk about what worked, what did not work, and we're going to have a good time. And let me tell you, Brother Montez, I cannot wait. January and 29, baby, it's going down. And we gonna turn that sucker out. We're going to have people coming in, watching their favorite movies, sneaking in on us, talking about what they doing in there, what's on that sound, what's on that noise. I can't help but to get in there and play and listen to the sound, a sweet sound of K-State the People's Band. So with that being said, I'm going to let y'all good brothers go. Good brother Josh, so nice to meet you. And Brother Montez, I love you, my good brother. Have a good night. God bless you.
I love you too, brother. We'll talk soon, man.
Absolutely.
hey, Josh, how do you follow that up? You know, how do we proceed with this show after that energy right there? I mean, gosh, you know, I'm glad you met Coco.
We can always talk about. Oh yeah, Coco's he's a character. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Absolutely.
We can always go back and talk about Enzo.
Oh, yeah. No, we can do that for sure. I don't know where the rest of speaking of bandmates, I don't know where the rest of our bandmates are, but it's okay. It's a duo situation right now until the other crew members join the show. I don't want to keep the show waiting. We got a lot of things we want to talk about. The Undertaker's Mount Rushmore, the tournament. Obviously, we need all four of us here to do that. But there's so many other things we can jump into. But Josh, we can always go back to this. But I want to jump right into the Undertaker's Mount Rushmore.
I see some discrepancies in. His Rushmore, though. I see one discrepancy.
Ooh, I would like to hear what that discrepancy is.
Andre the Giant. Great, yeah, but he was so one-dimensional because of his size and his height and everything. I mean, good for the big guy.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, you have so many other people who were big but also could move or who were medium, but also can hold their own with the big. I don't see Andre the Giant as one of, I wouldn't put him on my Mount Rushmore, I can tell you that much. But everyone has a right to their own opinion. I just think that there are so many others that are, I won't say greater, but just as great, but performed better. And it was his height and size that made him the way he was. And I mean, you can't fault him. I mean, he was what he was, but at the end of the day, it's like, you can't really say he was great.
But what's funny about what you're saying is that, and this is going to sound harsh coming from me and you, but I mean, he's guilty of being a big guy, and that really doesn't do nothing for him, you know, in some of our eyes, because I wouldn't have put Andre the Giant in the Mount Rushmore. And honestly, I've never been moved by Andre the Giant. I've never been excited about watching the Andre the Giant match. You know, it's almost like Shaq. You know, people don't give Shaq his just due because Shaq was a big man. You know, like, you never hear anybody giving Shaq his, like, really, like, giving Shaq his flowers because Shaq was big, you know. He was supposed to dominate, you know. I agree with you when it comes to Andre the Giant. Now, Shawn Michaels, hands down. How can anybody argue that? You know, let's just stop right there. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania. You needed a good match. You need to put Shawn Michaels in it. If you wanted to get a 5-star match, you need to have Shawn Michaels in it. And Shawn Michaels, it was at a point in time in the late 90s where Shawn Michaels was on top of the world. You know, before the explosion of Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels was the man. Shawn Michaels was absolutely special. And when Shawn Michaels came back years later, he was still doing special things. So Shawn Michaels, I don't see anything wrong with Shawn Michaels. What say you?
I will say yes and no.
Ooh,
tonight's going to be a controversial night, and okay. I may come off as being a heel tonight, but, hey, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's fine. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, yes, hands down, Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, and you're right. You put him in a match with anybody, you're going to get a 5-star match. But at one point in his career, he literally had nothing but still runs with the same people. But that wasn't to his fault because that's just the way they booked it. And when they did the whole Degeneration X thing, I mean, yeah, okay, they were breaking the fourth wall. They were doing so much to elevate the wrestling business. But to me, Shawn Michaels, I'm not going to lie, the man is phenomenal. But he was more of an entertainer than a sports star to me, in my eyes.
So
I get it. Go ahead.
Before you proceed, what do you mean by more of an entertainer than a sports star?
He would rather entertain, like he'd do some moves, and then he'll do something flashy or flary for the crowd or for the cameras. He was what I call a methodical person because he made you want to watch his match for the pure entertainment. Yeah. Now, he's phenomenal at sports. I mean, he can run, jump, flip, do all the good stuff. But at the end of the day, he was more of an entertainer because he would want to show up more than he would want to show up, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you. I totally get you.
Yeah. But would I put him on my Rushmore? Again, that's a questionable one. I could say yes, but I could also say no. Because, to be honest, Shawn Michaels is the 90s Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Mm. Wow.
That's my opinion. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion. You know, see, to me, it's like, if you want to be on Mount Rushmore, you have to have done something or you had to have been something that the wrestling world never saw.
Yes.
I was...
and I know I'm getting excited, and I know you're not finished with what you got to say, but when I give my Mount Rushmore, you know, the one person I'm picking, I feel like he changed the landscape of professional wrestling in a short amount of time, and I can't wait to tell you who that is, but but go ahead and proceed, because some people will probably disagree with me on this particular person, but go ahead, Josh.
Nah. So, see, my thing is you can't fault a person for the way they are because that's just the way they're built. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's kind of like, all right, I'm a big guy. Like, I'm 5'9½", almost 5'10", and I weigh 310 pounds. That's a big guy, right?
Yep.
So I would get pigeonholed, and if I was a wrestler, I would get pigeonholed into being – a average-sized big guy, but yet I know I can still run. I know I can jump. I can do all the stuff that I used to do when I was a kid, maybe not to the extent of what I was when I was a kid, but that's what happens with wrestlers. They get so one-tracked and pigeonholed into who they are because of how they are. Andre the Giant, big guy, couldn't move. What was his strength? If he got his hands on you, you were going to be hurt. So, you know, Shawn Michaels. With Shawn Michaels, he's quick. If you try to hit him, he could bounce away from you, come back with a super kick out of nowhere, and you're done for. So that's a good thing. But I wouldn't go as far as to say, me personally, again, I'm not going to put Shawn Michaels on my Mount Rushmore. That's just
Wow, Josh. Now, you are definitely entitled to your opinion. And what cool thing about this show, we can disagree and still give each other hugs and whatever. But, I think Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels, he owns a spot in the Mount Rushmore. I'm just he doesn't rent a spot in Mount Rushmore. He owns a spot. Like, one slot, I feel like, has to be reserved for the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. I just think that's how it should be, how it should go. But that's just my opinion, you know. Now, I don't think this next person should be in the Mount Rushmore, The Rock. I think The Rock has no business. He has no business whatsoever being in the Mount Rushmore. I don't know what The Undertaker was smoking on, but The Rock. The Rock was electrifying. The Rock was entertaining. And we really got to see what the criteria is on putting people in the Mount Rushmore, because The Rock is not even in my top 20. You know?
I am actually in 100% agreement with you.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, you get it, you know. The Rock, yes, he's revolutionary. He's part of the golden age of wrestling, the Attitude Era. He's one of the best of all time. I'm going to give you that. But like I said earlier, there's no way in the world he should be in the top four. I don't know what The Undertaker was thinking about, if he was just trying to show love, but it doesn't make sense. You know, I would put Daniel Bryan ahead of The Rock. You know, just on straight wrestling ability. But I consider The Rock, he was another one that was just like what you said about Shawn Michaels. He was more for the show. You know, he's more for showing off than anything else. In regards to The Rock, no for me.
Well, when it comes to The Rock, this is why he's not in my Mount Rushmore. And we're just talking WWE. I mean, because in every federation, I have my own top guys that I like. So it's kind of like, for just WWE, the reason The Rock is not in my Mount Rushmore is he's what I call an escape goat. Because at the end of the day, he could be the heel if you want him to be, or he could be the good guy that you want him to be. But every single time he wrestled, he had the same exact moveset. So he became predictable 3 years into his career, to where every time The Rock wrestled, I was calling his matches sitting on my sofa at home, and people were getting mad because I was calling him the moves he was doing.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, to me, again, yeah, one of the greatest, you know, but not the greatest. And it's funny because, you know, he's like, you know, the greatest one and all that. And anyone who has to go out there and say they're the greatest, hands down, is not the greatest.
For sure.
You know,
That's
like, you know, me drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't drink the Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I mean, at the beginning I said I see one discrepancy, but I think I kind of just had three discrepancies in a row.
Because it was there, and it's not like we trying to disrespect The Rock or call him a scrub or call him garbage, because he wasn't garbage. He wasn't a scrub, but top four, like, you leaving a lot of great people out of there, like Ric Flair, you know. Dusty Rhodes, for that matter. There's a lot of people that could have had The Rock spot over Ric Flair. Heck, Terry Funk, for that matter, you know.
Yeah.
But no, we are, before we get to ours, we have one more to get to, and that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Josh, I don't know how you feel about Austin, but I think Austin, he's not the most skilled in the ring, but I think Austin, for me, is the greatest of all time. I think he's the absolute greatest of all time. He They gave him the ball, and he ran with it. You know, he revolutionized the late 90s Attitude Era. And he was good wrestler. He was a good wrestler. He gave you good matches. He was a winner. So I agree with that selection from the Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Josh, what say you, brother?
I 100% agree. I will say Stone Cold, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, Stone Cold, there would be no WWE today if it had not been for Stone Cold. Yeah, I know Hogan and all this other. No, Stone Cold carried.
Yes.
He carried that company the entire time he was on that roster.
Hey, Josh, if I was in church, I'd say amen to you, man. If I was in church, because you are dropping dimes tonight. I didn't know we were going to go in this direction tonight, but you are dropping mega dimes tonight. Please proceed, because I agree.
Yeah. Well, all right, before he became Stone Cold, let's talk about that. You had Stunning Steve Austin.
Yep.
Just the name Stunning Steve Austin made you want to see this guy, regardless of what he was doing. Then you had the Hollywood Blondes, where he was with Brian Pillman. Again, you're like, Hollywood Blondes, what are these guys all about?
Right.
You know, I mean, just the names he had made you want to watch. Even though when he was in WCW, they booked him wrong. Yes, that was Eric Bischoff's fault, but whatever. The thing is at the end of the day, this man took a regular word of just saying what, and had audiences chanting it before the Yes Movement. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if I could sit there and talk to my wife and she says something, I say what, and then she says it again and I keep doing what, and she keeps doing it. Oh, obviously Stone Cold had some kind of impact on my life.
Yep.
You know, it. Stone Cold, hands down, he wasn't a heel. He wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a face. He was Stone Cold. You can not sit there and say, no one can sit there and say Stone Cold did not make bank on everything he touched, regardless of what it was.
Yep, to piggyback what you said, I agree that's a hot take that you said. It's a hot take, but it's a good take at that. If Stone Cold didn't rise up the way he did, WWE would have been finished, because WCW was obviously kicking their butt. You know, WCW was the Attitude Era before the Attitude Era occurred in WWE. You know, WCW, they had the Attitude, NWO, who else? NWO, the Four Horsemen, the Cruiserweights, things of that nature. WCW, they had it going on. But Stone Cold, the rise of Stone Cold, he single-handedly put that company on his back. I feel like Stone Cold, if it wasn't for Stone Cold, The Rock wouldn't have upped his game up. You know, Triple H wouldn't have upped his game up. Undertaker wouldn't have upped his game up. There was a lot of good stuff going on during that time, competitive stuff going on during that time in the Attitude Era because of Stone Cold. Everybody stepped up their game because of Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, the whole production of Monday Night Raw in the late 90s, from top to bottom, it was always entertaining. You know why it was always entertaining? Because Stone Cold was there. Because Stone Cold was there, everybody else had to pull their weight in terms of the entertainment department, because Stone Cold always delivered. So, yes, I
exactly
agree. Stone Cold, he absolutely belongs there, man. Absolutely belongs there. And anybody that disagrees with that, I would have to look at you with a side eye.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not forget that lazy, stupid invasion angle. WWE knew it was going nowhere because you took a lot of mid-card talent other than Booker T and Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
But you took a lot of mid-card talent from WCW and ECW, put them together, and everyone was like, boo, boo, boo. I mean, come on, how many times can Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo run in and interfere in matches and actually get away with it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
I mean,
that was
Storm.
Yep. And looking back on it, that was probably one of the worst times in wrestling history, WWF, WWE history, was the invasion angle. And to go back to Stone Cold Steve Austin for a moment, Josh, him teaming up with Mr. McMahon, initially, I think that was the wrong move. I still think that was the wrong move to this day, for him to team up with his arch-enemies, Mr. McMahon. I did not like that. I still have a bad feeling about that today, when he shook Mr. McMahon's hand at WrestleMania and joined forces with him. I think that was the beginning of a stupid decisions on part for WWE. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold gimmick, it probably was getting old at that point, right? It maybe was getting old. It wasn't getting old for me, but I can understand how some would say that his gimmick was getting old and he needed a shift. He needed a change. But they could have did something else different than him teaming up with the guy that he's been kicking butt. He's been kicking Mr. McMahon butt for 3 years, and now all of a sudden they're working together. And he's and the beginning of Stone Cold's heel turn with Mr. McMahon, he was acting like a fool. He was acting like a clown.
Yep.
And in some cases, he was acting like a coward. And that wasn't Stone Cold Steve Austin that we knew. To top it off, the invasion angle, yeah, it was lackluster. You know, we were looking for big names like Ric Flair, Sting, Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash at the time. You know, and they later came, but all we got is the people that you named. And
right.
For that,
but the
yeah.
funny thing about that invasion is the only thing that saved the invasion was that they interjected Stone Cold into the storyline. That's the only thing that saved the invasion.
Yep. And he was the vocal point of that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of cool, and Dominic is with us now. It was kind of cool when The Rock came back from the hiatus, and they kind of had The Rock team WCW, I think. I don't know what – was he team WCW or team WWF? I'm not sure.
He was team WWF.
Okay. So that was kind of cool. What's up, Dominic?
Yeah. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm reporting live on the east side of Detroit right now, taking my garbage out. You got to bear with me.
It's all good. I wasn't sure if you were ready to come on or not.
Man, I forgot, man. Like I said, I'm taking care of personal stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to get home to come from
yeah.
my home. I'm at Tsukasa now, and
okay.
So y'all was talking about Stone Cold.
Yeah, we were first like we were talking about Undertaker's Mount Rushmore. Do we agree with
okay.
it? Do we not agree with it? And then you know what happens on this show? Like we start talking about certain things, and then a whole nother topic come up. So we. Like we didn't plan on talking about Stone Cold or going this direction, but we here. But
okay.
Yeah, but
okay. Well, you know, like I said, I mean I tuned in with y'all was talking about the Stone Cold angle, so that's why reason why I say that. I mean, I know he did. I was watching glimpse of that interview he did. I didn't fully. Y'all gotta refresh me. Who was his Mount Rushmore? His all-time favorite?
Andre the Giant, Shawn Michaels,
okay.
The Rock,
okay.
and Stone Cold.
You would think, you know, a lot of people. And whatever your genre, sports, music, of whatever entertainment, of you know, when you holler top five, you feel like everybody is entitled to their opinion. But you know, when you do that quote, that phrase, name your top five, you will suspect that somebody is going to always have somebody. Majority of their list is going to be somebody before them or somebody who they modeled their profession or whatever it is. I can see why a lot of people debate. It's like, it's just pretty much people you work with.
mm-hmm.
you got to check with. I'm surprised he didn't put Triple H.
Nah.
That was probably his number six.
Just to catch you up, Dom.
Huh?
I had just to catch you up, I had three discrepancies with his Mount Rushmore. Out of the four, in my opinion, and just my opinion, the only one I truly 100% agree with is Stone Cold. I don't agree with The Rock, Shawn Michaels, or Andre the Giant.
Oh, wow.
I agree with Shawn Michaels being in it. I feel like Shawn Michaels, like, he should have his own spot in it, period, and everybody. I didn't agree with The Rock. Like, I don't think Rock is in my top 20. You know, Rock is great, but I don't think he's in my top 20. And Andre, he never moved me. So.
Okay. It sounds like we got a couple of haters. Okay.
Okay. What have we got over here? Couple of haters.
Couple of haters in the house. If you see them, point them out. No, guys, I'm messing with y'all. So,
it's all good.
Listen, this is the thing. I respect you guys. You know why you said it for you, your cup of tea. But you got to respect that man's cup of tea. That's what he feel like. Hey, you got to respect him, man. You would think though. He would go with a superstar, Billy Graham. You know, Ernest Harwell. You know, you would think he would go with tall, big and tall guys. That you would think so, but yeah, I mean, hey. Hey, yeah, you gotta respect him, man. I mean, all those names he gave out is great. I mean, I have no issues with none of them. They're all pretty much in my top 25. I'm not gonna give no particular order, but all those guys have set milestones and achievements, and all of them are larger than life at a point when they whatever they had their run. So, I mean,
yeah, but the only one still selling merchandise right now is Stone Cold Steve Austin. That dude, you can go to any wrestling show and it's WWE. He's still got merchandise that's being sold.
I mean, right. I mean, to a degree, all of them still. So much. I mean, Michaels. I mean, yeah, Michael still do. Rock still do. I mean, Rock is, like I said, all of them are larger than life. Andre the Giant, you got to pay homage. You got to understand, Andre the Giant was the first, just not because of his physique, was the pioneer back in the WWF of superstars that was larger than life. On TV commercials, on Saturday morning cartoons, movies.
Yeah.
I think Andre the Giant moved faster in a cartoon than in real life.
Hey, Martez,
yeah.
You want to smoke? You want to smoke?
Oh, no, I wasn't trying. No. I was just adding another name to it. I wasn't trying to.
Hey, let me talk. No, I'm messing with you.
My bad. I stepped back. I was just trying to add to it with
you. I mean, you got to think about that. 80s. Well, okay, Martez. Okay, I'll just decide. Yeah, Macho Man, it seems like Macho Man came later. But the first two, when WWF really broke off,
right.
Superstars that you saw, I mean, if you ask me, my top three, even though I'm a 90s baby, but if I can pay homage to the 80s, was Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and Mr. Pod Piper himself, Rowdy Piper.
Nice.
So you got to look at, like, from point of view, where Taker coming from, like, you know, like, are you good in the ring? Are you a good locker room leader? Are you a stand up guy? Is your character, the gimmick and stuff, was it larger than life? Did you always carry it with you 24/7? You know, did you never let the fans
see, you know, always let the friends know you're Rock. You're not Dwayne Johnson. You will always be Rock.
Yeah.
You know, right. did you give it your all in all inside of the ring, in the locker room, in the gym, in the weight room, you know, the whole politics, handshaking and greeting and all that, you know, as him being the jester of the locker room court. So,
yeah.
I guess that's where he's coming from.
I know we didn't say anything about disrespect. We were just saying they wouldn't be on our Mount Rushmore.
Okay,
so
no,
I mean we
I
get what you're
I
saying.
I didn't mean to put it as disrespect, but that's why I was just breaking it down. I was breaking that down, you know, as why he put those people. That's what his list of how he voted for them to be on his Mount Rushmore and what he looked for to be on his top.
Yeah. No, we agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, I think we're going to stay on this pretty much kind of the whole night, probably jump into some other stuff. But Kayvon is with us, the CEO of the Update Desk. Kayvon, Mr. Big 4+4. +1.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for this 4+1.
What up, K-Bob?
All right. What's up? I had a long week. Sorry I came on here late. I had to take care of a couple things, but, boy.
It's all good, brother. Are you ready?
Yeah, hopefully I get through these names, but yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's not waste any more time. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am back with Big 4+1. Today I would not be covering Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. I've been put on a special mission to list the news in MLW and AEW. And luckily for myself, it was a rough one. And still, the MLW Fusion Tag Team Champion, Los Parks. I'm sorry if I said that name wrong. Number two, Richard Hartley versus this is a rough one, but I'm just gonna say Medea. Okay, that's the name for today. For the IWA and MLW Caribbean champion. I took notes on this one. It says both men hit each other with super kicks, but Hartley hit his super kick last and followed it up with a big spine buster. And of course, Holland hit his finishing move 2008 for the victory. Whew. Now I shall get into some good stuff. AEW. Still not a fan of it. I did not fall asleep though because I knew I had a mission. Darby Allin versus MJF. That was a rough one. MJF gave Allin his skateboard and dared him to take a shot to get disqualified. But, of course, the referee got rid of it. MJF hit Allin with his diamond ring to steal the pin. Whew, number four, Cody Rhodes and Pat versus Malachi Black and Andrade. The American Nightmares, I don't know why they named themselves that, but hey, it is what it is. The American Nightmares, they did okay. Pac tagged himself in, hit a 450 to Andrade, put in there for, but Pac hit the Black Arrow for the pin on Andrade. Now, the last one is this right here, and I think Cool K can take over on this one, because I'm tired.
Okay, listen. Oh, yeah, what's up? Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. Listen, this match was for the AEW World Title. Listen, this was a beast. This was, this was everything you can hope for. The Young Bucks. The Young Bucks leaped out towards the ring as Omega hit a brutal back suplex. It was so brutal, I felt that through the TV, let me tell you. And then Page popped back up and hit the same move he hit Omega with his own one-wing angel for a near fall. Who that was a close one, but then he nailed Omega with two back shots as the Bucks nodded their approval. He made the cover and pinned Omega to win the title. Now, this was a surprise to me. The Dark Order came down to celebrate with the new AEW champion. They surrounded him for a big group hug and lifted him up on their shoulders to close the show. So if I were you, I would go check out AEW and MLW. Kayvon, of course, had to check that out for an assignment, but I'm pretty sure he won't do that again. Trust me, I was on his head. You guys are welcome. That has been the Big 4+1 for MLW and AEW. Back over to you guys.
Wow, Kayvon, I got to give you your props, man. I know that wasn't easy, but you did it. I got to give you that much. You did it. You did it, Josh. You did it, Dominic.
Yep. You are indeed the tribal chief.
Guys, what I miss? No, seriously, what I miss? Sorry, I had to step
on
right quick.
You missed Kayvon's Big 4+1.
Oh, my bad, Kayvon. My bad, big homie.
It is all right. I got through it. When I was watching AEW, like I said, I made sure I had my Gatorade, my tea, my snack, and all that.
How many times you get up for the TV?
I may have got up like once or twice to go to the bathroom, but of course I had to hit pause and come back and hit resume.
I mean, that's what you do. Anything you watch, football, wrestling, you made it seem like you was on a stakeout.
Oh no, he went to war. He won, but he went to war. Oh boy.
Well,
all right, you made it, Kayvon. I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah,
I'm proud.
Because Dominic, we kind of challenged Kayvon to talk about MLW and AEW and give WWE a break, because you know Kayvon loved WWE, so we challenged him to talk about those other two promotions.
Hey.
And he just,
hey Kayvon, you know your boy Dom. If that's what you want to talk about, that's what you want to talk about. That's what you want to talk about. That's what you feel comfortable. You tell Marquez and Josh, like, hey, I'm talking about WWE, two tears in the bucket. What you all got to say about it? You know?
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada bong. Bada bing,
yeah,
bada bong.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. But see, check this out. Sometimes it's good for the tribal chief to look at his competition, you know, other than, you know, just watching the same show over and over again. So I took a chance and watched MLW and AEW. And in my opinion, between MLW and AEW, I will pick AEW every time, only because they have simple names and you can be like, okay, cool. Other than MLW, let me pick, them names was difficult. I had to pick some of the easiest names, and it was something else.
Hey, Kayvon.
Next time, that's why you got Paul Heyman. You get Paul Heyman to watch your competition. That's why you got the Uso.
Hey, Kayvon.
Yeah.
If you had to do another 4+1 right now with WWE, would you be able to do it?
Of course. Just WWE, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
WWE, no problem. Hands down.
Martez, it's on you, man.
We made him suffer.
Should we let him do what the 4+1, you know, on what he loves?
Oh yeah. If we got time a little bit later, then we go give you the floor again, Kayvon. So we go save some time before the show ends for you to do that. If you're ready for that.
Okay.
We don't want to put you on the spot, man. But what we can do, we can either we can proceed with the tournament, or we can talk about our Mount Rushmore, our top four, or we can do something else. Whatever you all want to do, Dominic, Josh.
I would like to talk about. You want to talk about what?
Oh, no,
and we like the Rockets. We're about to split up. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Killer bees.
Killer bees? Hey, you know what? They were a good tag team.
We want the killer bees back.
I would like to talk about John Morrison's message to the fans that I posted on social media. If you guys watched it, have you guys watched it?
Yeah, I saw a little bit. Yeah, I saw.
He pretty much laid it out for, you know, like how he really feels about the fans and stuff like that. I mean, the dude, yeah, let's face it, John Morrison, probably this era and last era is like number one person to do all the flips and everything like that. Cool guy. He did what he felt was right by acknowledging his role in professional wrestling is to provide entertainment for the fans. And he feels that his future is bright. He's not over by any means, but he feels that it was plucked too soon from him on such a wide base with the WWE because he was let go. And he was really feeling it. And he hands down earned my respect just by that. I mean, he had my respect, but he really earned my respect with the message he said, because at the end of the day, if you haven't watched it, I would suggest watching it, because it would make you understand how he is as a person and not as a performer. And to me, sometimes the person needs to be better than the performer, and that is one instance where I will say the person outweighed way more than what he did in professional wrestling. That's all I got to say about it. It was good.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I was just gonna say real quick, I gotta watch it, so I'm not about to hog the time up. I gotta watch. You know, watch it for myself, Josh, and you know, get my intake next time go around. So I didn't fully catch it. So that's what's up, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm down for whatever you guys want to talk about. So.
I mean, is it that time to do the? Are we doing our tournament of theme songs?
Hey, I'm down.
I'm down.
I mean, well, whatever else.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, I'm down too, and I can announce who went on to round two last week, and we can hop into today or like right now, like this tournament, if you guys want.
Yeah, that works. Go ahead.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you was here last week, then of course was the first round of the tournament, and well, let's just say CM Punk went on, you know, hallelujah, bless him, and somebody else went on that I think was very trash in the WWE, especially when he came back to verse the Fiend, cough, cough. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, so are we just doing one battle tonight? One matchup tonight?
It's up to you guys if you want to do one or two. I mean, I'm cool with whichever one.
I'd rather do two and keep the ball rolling with two since we did it last week.
All right. Well, I'll start things off. I had John Cena's Dr. Thugonomics entrance music last week, but I want to also go keep it going with John Cena. I want to go with other things. And you all know what it is. So, John Cena. That'll be my first round.
All right, I'll go next. I'm going Viva La Raza, Eddie Guerrero.
Ooh, Eddie. Okay. Since you're going Eddie, I'm going to have to go the route that Eddie was actually in a rivalry with for Dominic Mysterio. Rey Mysterio. Entrance, his entrance. That's right, Booyaka Booyaka 619. Yes, sir.
Okay, but last but not least, I think I'm so nervous, man. I think this is who should I throw out? I think I'm going with guys. I'm gonna have to go with another duo. Out to DX, the, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. Same talk to New Age Outlaw.
All right, I'll start off the votes. I'm going to go with, you didn't know? New Age Outlaws.
And this seems like this is an easy round. So I'm going with that too. New Age Outlaws, hands down.
Yeah. Only because I don't like John Cena, I'm going to go with New Age Outlaws as well.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
And this is Dominic Cousin. He's going with New Age Outlaw. All right, let's get it.
Oh,
I'm going to go with John Cena. I'm going with John Cena. Real talk.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. All right, for the next matchup, my next selection is going to be Goldberg.
All right. My next selection is going to be my exclusive Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ooh.
Now, since I use my exclusive, no one else can use their exclusive because it'll cancel one of them out. So that's how that worked. That was one of the rules.
Okay.
All right. Now, well, okay, if that's the case, then I shall go with the man. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, he was part of the Hardy Boys. Uh-huh. Jeff Hardy, no more words.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Hey guys, I gotta do it to you. I gotta put on my pink tights and be the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. The Bret Hart theme song.
Man, this is a tight battle right here. This is a tight battle.
Yeah, I gotta do it.
I'm gonna pick good old Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I'm gonna pick Bret Hart.
Seriously, Josh, who you say you did? Who you picked?
Stone Cold.
That was the second
who I picked?
One or the first one?
Stone Cold was my exclusive. Yeah, that was Stone Cold.
The first original Stone Cold theme song?
Yeah. Well, he's only changed it up 2 times. So the Breaking Glass one,
The Breaking Glass one. That's I almost said something. I got to keep a PG for my chest. So, yep, that first one. That's my ish.
All right. Well, I guess everybody's agreeing with Stone Cold, so I'm gonna be on that road because once you hear that glass break, it's something different.
Oh yeah.
You know you want to say Bret Hart.
You know, I do want to say it, but you know, hey, if I say Bret Hart now, my windows might shatter, and Stone Cold might come in my house and give me a nice mean stunner alongside of with Kevin Owens. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with
my bad, Kayvon. That was my cousin in the background again. My bad, Kayvon. Okay. Who you from, Kevin? He's tripping tonight. He must have that good juice. Goody juice.
Well, I guess Stone Cold, move on to the next round, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sweet. Who's the segment for we're going to get back to that next week whenever we come over back together and do the program. Now we can even give our four of all time, our Mount Rushmore. But I did want to see if we could talk about Liv Morgan because she has a big match next Monday against Becky Lynch. I did want to take some time to talk about that too. So let's do our top four real quick. We can go through that real quick if that's cool with everybody.
Oh yeah.
So my top four is Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret the Hitman Hart, Goldberg, and number four is Shawn Michaels.
Good choices.
Thank you.
My top four are Stone Cold, and I'm going to follow suit with Bret Hart because, I mean, he's hands down one of the best. The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Ooh.
And believe it or not, one who broke the mold a couple times. I'm going with Chyna because she was the first woman in the Royal Rumble, first female Intercontinental Champion. I mean, she broke the mold a couple times, so I'm going with Chyna.
Wow, that's a hot take right there. Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. Like Brother Coco said earlier, you got to shock the system.
Definitely shock the system.
Is it on me?
Yeah.
Is it on me, guys?
Go ahead, though.
Okay. It's hands down. I'm going to do five. Dylon, in Dylan, hands down. Just hands down. Oh, my bad. I forgot wrong top five. Let's see. I gotta go with my boy Bret Hart. Gotta go with Bret Hart. Let's see. Who's another one? One of my favorites of all time. I was an Ornhart guy. Go with little bro, Ornhart. Y'all put me on the spot. On the spot. I was a big Cactus Jack guy. Cactus Jack. This is a surprising. And we from Michigan. Once I got clicked on ECW, Mr. Whole Effing Show. Yeah, I'm talking about Rob Van Dam. Mr. Pay-Per-View. I need one more, guys. My fifth one. My fifth person, man. It's really like a toss-up, man. It's like a fatal five-way, man. But I know I'm gonna be fair for real, guys. I got to pick one. I feel like I got to pay homage. I feel like I'm not paying homage to nobody. I got to go back old school. I guess I want to say I was somehow, even though I never really gave him his flowers, I always admire him, always the egomaniac, egotistic, the charismatic, the, you know, wearing the kilt to the ring. I gotta go with Roddy Piper. That was my five.
Good choices.
Yes, very good choices. Okay, so to catch me up, I just got one question. Are we naming our favorite of all times back in the day or just overall?
I think we're doing overall, you know, because that's whoever impacted you most that you feel deserves a spot on your Mount Rushmore. That's who we're talking about. Doesn't matter if it's now, past time, whatever. Your Rushmore.
Okay, that's five heads, five people. Okay, in that case, since I'm a jokester and I like to laugh and all that, R-Truth's got to be one of them. Ooh, that's. The longest, I can't really say longest reigning, but he held the 24/7 title belt or won that belt more times than anybody I can count. Let's see. It have to go my boy Ric Flair, because he all right. Then let's see. I have to go with Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, because he's something else. He's something
Everybody
else.
Everybody got a price to pay.
Absolutely. There's somebody else I missed. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Good Coach. Appreciate you. Roman Reigns, I would be, my hair would be cut off if I did not say the head of the table. Roman Reigns has to be one of them because, my God, today. And let's see, is one more person as that was on my radar. Dang. Oh, man. Let me see. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good choices.
Thank you.
I will say,
like
huh?
We need to play that E-40 song, Choices, right now.
Big Me and Martez still have to pick one person, though, because we each only chose four. You guys both chose five. Martez, you want to pick another person?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, y'all, I was playing, and I know I was being an a-hole, but I made a mistake.
Oh, no, you did.
I would probably have to say pound for pound, Brock Lesnar will be my number five. He's not my favorite wrestler of all time, but I'm just looking at his numbers. And Brock Lesnar, if you needed a win, I'll put Brock Lesnar in there with anybody. So I'm going to go Brock Lesnar as my number five.
My number five is going to be none other than a man known as Sting.
Ooh.
Yep.
Good. Man, Dean that's not Payne. Bad at all.
Yeah.
Sting.
I know he's
not
also
Superman.
Now, we got about 12 minutes to go, but I want to take this moment. I wanted to spotlight a particular female wrestler, that and the person of Liv Morgan. There's a big match coming up Monday night on Raw. Liv Morgan is taking on Becky Lynch for the right to become the next WWE Raw Women's Champion. And I wanted to toss the question around to you guys. Is this truly Liv Morgan's time? Do you think Liv Morgan should be the next Raw Women's Champion? Can she be the face of a women's division? You know, because I'm really behind this. I'm excited, you know. I'm surprised they're doing it on Monday Night Raw, but, oh, well, it's all good. But I'm surprised they're doing it on Monday Night Raw. But what do you all think about the idea of Liv Morgan beating Becky Lynch this upcoming Monday night on Raw? And we can start with Kayvon and then pass around. If that's cool.
Yep.
Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch Monday night to determine the Raw Women Champion. Where do I stand at right now? Becky Lynch had her time. She beat the EST in 20 seconds. I don't care if they say 25. It was 20. I was there. I counted. She beat her in 20 seconds and went on and on, you know, bragging and bragging. This is Liv Morgan's time. Before Becky Lynch left, I'm pretty sure we all heard this story. Becky Lynch told Liv Morgan one day she will be champion. And what better way to become a champion than to pin the person that said it? So it is Liv Morgan's time. I believe she will beat Becky Lynch and become the new Raw Women's Champion.
I'll let Dom go next.
So, guys, I mean, to answer it, I'm not going to go overboard or say, like, be like, oh, come on now. I do believe one day, Liv Morgan will be champion. But come on, guys. I don't think it's going to be next Monday. I that's another one of my female underdogs I would love to see. But it's one day, but not right now.
Okay, I've always been a big Liv Morgan fan since she was in NXT. Her career is just, it's been an uphill, downhill battle for her. I believe she would make a good champion on Raw. I don't believe she'll win this coming Monday, but I prefer it that way, and let me explain why. I would like to see Liv Morgan, one, she'll lose this coming Monday, unfortunately, but then she goes on, wins the Royal Rumble, and then they give her WrestleMania moment, which I think she so truly deserves because she has been put through the ringer. She's been put, oh, we're going to give you a push. No, we're going to stall it. We're going to give you a push. No, we're going to stall it. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. The last time they did that with somebody, they went on to be very successful, whether it be in WWE, MLW, AEW, whatever. But the thing is Liv Morgan, if you want her to win the championship, you got to make it impactful. And the only way I see it making it impactful is having her win the Royal Rumble and go on and win the match at WrestleMania. That would be dream scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she's going to win it this coming Monday. And I hate to say that because I want her to.
Yeah, but.
Right,
yeah,
absolutely. That's the same thing I'm saying too, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all in agreement. Like, this is what frustrates me about them sometimes. Why even create this match for her to lose? You know, you could have saved it for the Royal. I mean, you could have saved it for WrestleMania, where she could win. You know, my question is, how will she lose? Will it be a clean finish, or will it be disqualification? Because I think the best way for her to lose would be disqualification. Like, what do you all think?
Here's what I think. I think they should, and call me crazy or a traditionalist or anything, but I think this is the beginning of a face turn for Becky Lynch. Because here's the thing. I think she's gonna win cleanly. And reluctantly, they're going to shake hands or they're going to show some kind of respect for each other. And then it's going to go to the Royal Rumble, and Becky Lynch will be sitting out there watching the match. Liv Morgan wins the Royal Rumble, points at the sign while she's simultaneously pointing at Becky Lynch's title. And then they go on, and it's the best of both worlds at WrestleMania because you can, one, turn Becky's face again, which is what they're leading toward. I can guarantee you that. And then to also crown a new champion and have Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan both be the top two people on the face side. Because I feel they're going to be turning Bianca Belair heel just by her mannerisms lately. So Bianca Belair will become – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying they need to.
Yeah. There. So Bianca Belair turns heel, then you got the two faces, and then Bianca Belair, she gets that sidekick or that second person with her, whoever it may be. But that's dream scenario. And if I was booking, that's how I would book it. You want to turn Becky's face and you want Liv Morgan to be champion. That would be perfect. As a matter of fact, you could also throw Alexa Bliss into the picture and say, hey, Alexa Bliss comes back in alliance with Bianca Belair and their heels.
Okay. Okay, my booking right quick. Oh, did Kayvon go?
Not yet, but I'm gonna have you go. I'm gonna go last.
Okay, no, Kayvon, you go ahead.
Okay.
My bad. No, I just thought about it. I wanted to. That's food for thought, Josh. I wanted to jump in, but I wasn't trying to be. You know, I forgot Kayvon didn't go.
Okay. Booking standpoint, it'll be nice for Bianca Belair to go heel and Becky go face, and of course Liv Morgan become Raw Women's Champion. Then the idea, of course, since you have built Liv Morgan up with Becky, now Liv Morgan looks like she's, of course, taking on the bad guy's persona. So, of course, it'll be best for Liv Morgan to have a bodyguard such as Bianca Belair. And have, like I said, Liv Morgan dominate the women's division, and then Bianca Belair turn around and turn on Liv, making it like a whoa. And of course, Bianca Belair says, "I want my title back." Plain and simple, right there.
Well, yeah.
Real quick with me, guys. I know it's not going to fully make sense. I know y'all going to be like, huh? No. More or less like, no, it got to go this way. I'm a firm believer that keeping Becky Lynch a heel. And I want that baby face Liv Morgan to, you know, win it. I would say, yeah, keep, you know, possibly I hear you guys with my girl Bree, BB Bianca turning heel, but I would definitely keep Becky Lynch as a heel, and probably add Doudrop as her bodyguard. That's my fucking.
Yeah. Now Martez, I also remember hearing Martez saying he wanted to talk about Naomi too, so. I'm down to talk about that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. It's actually about 2 minutes to go, but we can go into overtime. You know, I'm going to be real quick with what I got to say. I like what they're doing with Naomi on SmackDown. Eventually, I think they're going to give her a main event push, but I like this slow build towards it with her, Sonya Deville being the boss that's trying to keep her down. I'm really enjoying that. I think Naomi, she is one of the best people they got, men and women. Her matches can be better, obviously, but I think Naomi is one of those people that I just easily fall in love with, and I want to see people like her do great things. So I'm for Naomi becoming a SmackDown Women's Champion at some point, because I think that's what they're leading towards. Naomi doing that. So that's all I really wanted to say tonight about Naomi.
Kayvon, you want to go?
Yeah. Naomi, she was my first crush in WWE until I found out she's married to one of the Usos. But what I think right now there, Like you said, Martez, they're doing a great job with Naomi. And sometimes on the line, I hope she do become a SmackDown Women's Champion. And also, before Roman Reigns leave, I want to see Naomi join the Bloodline and really push out her heel, her heelish character.
All right. Dom, you want to go?
Okay, wait a minute. I had turned off. Are we talking about our input on Naomi?
Yeah, and the storyline she's in right now.
Yeah, I like it. You know, since as you see, you might it's like your starter is down, which is Sasha. You know, your number two, she's out doing, you know, her thing. So you might, Naomi, got to step up. You know, using her, I like the push they're using, the angle they're using. She's one of the top five. Once again, one of my top five for this coming up Royal Rumble. Her and Liv Morgan are like the number one and number two. So, I mean, I'm sitting back with my Scooby snacks and enjoying the view.
I like the storyline. Kind of, it does kind of remind me a little bit of the Authority versus Daniel Bryan, but I like the twist they have on it because it's not like they're saying she's a B-plus player. The way the feud is going is being built organically, and I like the way it's being a slow burner instead of, oh, this is happening, and then we're going to do this. I believe, hands down, Naomi is one of the most talented female wrestlers in the world. Not just in WWE, but the world. And I strongly believe that, one, I do agree with Kayvon. She does need to join the bloodline and become heel for a moment, because that is something that the fans, and me being a fan, we need. Not once, we need for that to happen. So she can get to that next level of viciousness. Because right now, the way she is, I mean, she's phenomenal. But as a face right now, she's kind of like, she's missing that key component. So she needs to turn it up a little, join the bloodline, and then once the bloodline dissolves or whatever, turn her face again. But between that time, she will be champion. I guarantee it. She will be, mark my words, she will be champion on SmackDown at some point in the near future. I want to say before the end of next year.
Yep. I think we're all in agreement on Naomi, and we just got to buckle our seatbelts and enjoy this ride. I think we're getting ready to head into a special season, and that's a WrestleMania season. Obviously, WWE has pulled. They're used to running so many pay-per-views, but I believe you got Day One coming up, that pay-per-view. Then you got the Royal Rumble, and then you got WrestleMania. So there's not going to be too many. There's not going to be a lot of pay-per-views coming up. So we're going to have a lot of time to just focus on the road of WrestleMania and who's involved in it. So, we are Team Naomi. any final thoughts? I'm getting ready to pass out at this moment. I'm getting sleepy.
I don't know about – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go.
I don't know about you guys, but I know I mentioned it to Martez at one point. I think one of our last shows, like, for this year should be a recap of the entire year, just a recap of our favorite moments, our, you know, dislikes and stuff like that, just a full episode of what has happened and – what we also look forward to in the new year, if you guys would want to do that. Because I know I mentioned it to Martez at some point, so.
Y'all know me. I'm down.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the way to wrap up in the year.
Yeah.
What a wrap-up.
Yeah. We will be taking we're talking a group chat, but we will be taking a break, at least a holiday break from the show, but I'll put that in a group chat with you all, because we usually take a break and then come back at some point in the new year with the show. But obviously things are different now. There's more people on the show. So we can talk about that in the group chat. But yeah, another good show. Another fantastic edition of Wrestle Talking to D. We want to thank Dominic, Kayvon, and Josh.
Hold on, Martez. What?
Yep.
I'm sorry. WrestleMania week, somebody will be appearing on Wrestle Talking to D. Stay tuned to find out who that person is. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
Ooh. Dang, early tease. Dang, Kayvon. And on that note, we want to thank everybody for listening. We got a lot to look forward to, especially that special guest for WrestleMania weekend. I want to thank everybody for listening that take out their time to listen to this show. We'll see you maybe next week or maybe sometime this week, the way this show is going.
We're gonna be on every day.
No. If it's after 1 o'clock, I'm going to bed. So like I told y'all to call me. I told y'all to call me and my phone and I still didn't hear the phone. I think I was just super tired yesterday. Now y'all being nice, but I bet y'all cussing me out in y'all head, man.
I would never cuss you out. I ain't that kind of person. I just, you know.
Well, on that note, as they continue to cuss me out in their head, this has been Wrestle Talking. I want to thank everybody for listening. All jokes aside, have a good night. God bless everybody, and take care.
Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez starts.